grace to you and peace. Amen. I learned how to do the hula in the fifth grade. My teacher, my fifth grade teacher, Kay Kuike, Miss Kuike, was a Hawaiian. Born and raised, her family lived in Hawaii, and then she became a school teacher, and eventually became my school teacher. And she used her life growing up as a Hawaiian in her curriculum. Much of how she shaped what she taught us in fifth grade was shaped around her life as a Hawaiian. And I learned how to hula as a result. Towards the end of the school year, we put on a big production, a big show, a program teaching everything that we had learned about Hawaii to the rest of the people, our parents, primarily friends and neighbors. And we shared how to hula. We sang songs in Hawaiian, and we taught everything that we had learned about Hawaii. Kay Kuike was a remarkable teacher. She was kind of strict, pretty strong, and I reflect back because she passed away recently, and I read her obituary, and it reminded me of some of the lessons that Kay had taught me alongside of everything I ever learned about Hawaii. I learned in the fifth grade. But everything that she taught me some pretty valuable stuff that carried with me through much of my life. She taught me how to have be prepared, how to stay focused on the work, but also how to have a good time while you were playing. She taught me how to be on stage and how to find that confidence to stand up in front of people and put on a performance like that. I suspect that's where it all began for me and my comfort with being out here in front of people, public speaking. I learned that the relationships between students and teachers truly have the power to transform lives. Now, in our series, Who is My Neighbor? We spent a couple of weeks thinking about some of the people in our midst in terms of sort of their circumstances. Now we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about them in terms of their vocation, their vocational identity. And here in our midst, in our community, we are surrounded by students and certainly teachers. Some of you in this room have spent your lives, your vocations as teachers. One way or the other, we have all been impacted by this relationship. Your life as a student, perhaps your life as a teacher as well. Now, my hope is that as I was telling you about my favorite fifth grade teacher, Kay Kuike, the Hawaiian, you were starting to think about who that favorite teacher or who that teacher in your life that made a little impact, made some sort of connection with you. Who was that teacher in your life? And now take a deep, big, deep breath, and we're going to look around us and find someone we don't know, someone that isn't married to us or connected to us in that way, or a child or a parent, but someone you don't know. And I want you to find that person and just take a few moments and share with each other that one teacher. It doesn't have to be the most important. Just pick one of the teachers of your life that made a little impact in your life and share that with the person that you're visiting with. Well, gauging by the energy level in the room, I'm going to guess that this was a fun conversation to have. And a fun one to stop having, too. But keep thinking about those teachers throughout the rest of this morning and maybe throughout the rest of this day, because certainly we've all been affected on some in some deep way by these teachers in our lives. And we all as students have been formed and shaped in this process. We talk about how God works in the world through this, our sense of vocation, the callings that God gives to us, to use the gifts, the unique qualities about ourselves that God has put and formed into us that has helped to shape our life and the lives of those around us. Those teachers who have those gifts to connect with young people or people as they progress throughout their life, that can instill and help bring knowledge and help bring a sense of curiosity and a sense of of wonder about the world. Those are really transformational relationships in our lives. How could God not be right in the midst of all of that as we were forming our own lives and growing and gaining? The relationships that this church have, in particular around education, are pretty powerful. I'm thinking of two sort of relationships we have that are quite broad and much bigger than just our own Roseville area right here. Two things that come to mind. One is a relationship that this church has through one of its former members and a family that came to be a partner here, the Mortensen family. Greg Mortensen, who was a high schooler here in Roseville, after his missionary family came back from Africa. Greg, shaped by this community for sure, but went off and pursued his passion to climb mountains and found himself climbing in the Karakoram Mountains outside in Pakistan, Afghanistan, that very mountain Himalayan region, and got lost on his way back down and wandered into a village. Perhaps you've heard this story, made well known in the book Three Cups of Tea, and Greg's story has gone on and been told in countless ways and continues to be told. Greg shared that story here at Prince of Peace, and we're hoping to get him back. But ultimately what he discovered in his connection to this one little village in Afghanistan was the people there most desperately needed some help educating their youngest, in particular the girls of the village. And all of the science that has shown that if you teach the young women in these settings, that will do more to lift up the community, do more to increase the quality of life expectancies, economy, you name it, the outcomes are better when the young people are educated, especially the women. And so Greg's founded the Central Asia Institute to start building schools in the most remote and the poorest of the poor parts of the world, in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Turkmenistan. And they have now, over the years, have educated tens of thousands of young people, primarily women. Many of them gone on to college and higher education as well. And you think that those women that have been that have been educated through that system are changing the world? You bet they are. Powerful story from one of our own here at Prince of Peace. Another powerful story of education is our partnership over in Tanzania. One of the ways that our church partner in the village of Bomolongombe helps support its community is through its support of the secondary school there and really all of the education in the region. And we, as partners with them, have come alongside them and offered scholarship support. The country provides basic education only at the primary level. They're working on expanding that, and I believe things are changing on that front. But anything beyond sort of a second, third grade education really has to be paid for at the secondary school level. And so this congregation and congregations throughout the St. Paul Synod support scholarship programs that help get kids into these secondary schools that wouldn't otherwise be able to be a partner in there. And they also, we have some scholarships that have helped bring some of those secondary students on to their higher forms and ultimately to college and universities. And do you think those kids who have been impacted by the scholarship support and the support of that community over there, lifting them up through that educational system, you think they're changing life and transforming the world through their efforts in Tanzania? You bet they are. Powerful, powerful stories. And I'm sure we're going to hear more of those from our Tanzanian delegation in the weeks ahead. And we look forward to that. Powerful stories of transformation through the sharing of knowledge and the sharing of instilling a life skill and instilling compassion and all sorts of ways in which God is active in the world coming through that relationship between student and teacher. Now, let's think a little bit more close to home. Here in our Roseville area, in the Roseville School District, this beautiful gift of education, many of you have chosen to live in this area because of the education that's available in the Roseville District, Moundsview District, the White Bear School District, These school systems in this area are doing a tremendous job. And many of you moved here years and years ago so that your kids could come up through this school system. The school system's still fantastic, but boy, is it changing. And I thought I'd share just a couple of statistics about the demographic information about our Roseville School District, which is the specific district that I looked at, and how that is shaping the community in which we live. Because if you look around this room right now, this is not a representation of what the school district looks like in the least. Dramatically, dramatically different. Now, starts with students of color. This shift is really profound. In the last few recent years, students of color now make up a majority of the students in the Roseville School District. 53% of the student body is a student of color now. And that has changed pretty significantly just in the last 10 years. Most of that growth has come because of the growth of the immigrant population that's now finding residence and finding a home in this area. Our numbers of students of color have doubled just over the course of the last 10 years. Just the sheer numbers of those students, and so all of that growth is coming from that way. 65 different languages are spoken in the homes of Roseville School students. 65 different languages. 27% of the homes speak in a language other than English, primary language other than English in their home of students. The most common, Spanish, Hmong, Karen, Somali, and Nepali. So that's who our student body is. And how much that has been shaped. And that is a dramatic shift just in the last 10 to 15 years. No surprise on that for those of us who are out in this community and seeing the changing faces of our neighbors. Our gardens just across our brand new parking lot here, all farmed by 6 different Karen families who live in this area. They live further over by Rice Street and kind of Larpinder area, but that's within our school district. And so change of the sort of ethnic diversity and the ethnic shape of our community as defined within the school district. There are about 7,600 students studying in the school district, and it costs $153 million a year to educate all those students. That's about $20,000 per student. Pretty standard statewide as well. We spend a little more in this area than in other parts of the state, and there are places where they spend more than that per student, but we spend $153 million educating students right here within Roseville. The economic diversity of our students is also shifting very dramatically in our community as a result of that as well. Let's see, where was my note? I gotta get quoting numbers here. 15 years ago, 19% of our student body qualified for free and reduced meals through the school district. So 15 years ago, about 20% of the student body qualified economically for free and reduced cost for meals. Now that number is almost 50%, 48% of the student body within the district qualifies for that. So you can see the changing demographic, you can see the shifting socioeconomic demographics there. Pretty significant in a fairly short period of time. These are our neighbors. These are the students that we are responsible for caring for and loving and allowing for them to gain this foothold in the world through the expansion of their mind, so the installation of skill and ability that will serve them in their life going forward. We have a responsibility as a part of this creation. God's calling us to be partners with these educators in our midst who are caring for these community members and helping to educate them. I think it's important to note, and I was looking on the school district's website, they've got a bunch of values listed there that help to guide and shape the work that they do. All of their programmatic initiatives flow out of those values. They always try to tie back to these values specifically. And I thought, well, how do the values of a school district line up alongside the values of a community of faith like ours? If you think about what are our values, what do we What do we organize ourselves around? What do we want our community of faith to look like? And how do we want to help people be shaped by this community? And we think the school district, they had a list of about 10 values, but a few of them really jumped out at me. And I thought, boy, if there isn't an alignment here, we're not paying attention. Equity. How much is God calling us in our work to be this community of faith around matters of justice? The sense of equity in the world is shaping the work of the school district, is just as it's shaping our life together. Integrity. People of integrity, we think of the people of God should live their lives with a sense of integrity. How can we help our educators instill that same sense of integrity in the people that they work with? Compassion. Oh my gosh. If we aren't about compassion, then we're really not paying attention to the scriptures. We're not paying attention to the work that God has called us to do. How is the school district teaching compassion to its students? How can we support that? And finally, a sense of belonging. Is my mic losing it? The sense of belonging. Why are you even here this morning? You are here, I believe, partly because you want to be a part of something. You want to be connected to a group of people who are called together to worship, to praise, but to also pray together, to cry together, to support each other, to be a part of something. The school district has a similar value that they want to instill in their students a sense of belonging. How can we support the work of our school district around that need for connection and connectivity and to be supported and loved? Wonderful opportunities for us. God puts right here in our midst through our own school district. Finally, 91% of students asked in the Roseville School District said that their teacher cares about them. 91%. That's amazing. And it immediately makes me wonder about the other 9%. How can we find them? How could we help our teachers find those 9%, help them feel differently about this relationship, this opportunity that they have in their midst? Lastly, think about how teaching also transforms the lives of the teacher. Think about the times in your life, perhaps, when you've had some certain special knowledge or gift, and the opportunity that you've had to share that with another, to show them how to do this thing, or instruct them along, or bring them through a process with your help. Think about how that has shaped your own life, and how you've been shaped by that. Now, they say the best way to learn is to teach, right? And so think about mastering something to the point where you could at least share that knowledge in another way. What a gift it is that God serves the world through teachers. And God reaches into these communities through the students and helps support them and in their lives. And somehow this community of faith can be a part of this community of Roseville, Minnesota, the world, through the work that we do as teachers in this world. So what could you teach your neighbor today and the days ahead? What gift do you have that God has given you? What special knowledge or curiosity that you love to explore do you have that you could open up and share with your neighbor to bring them along and bring them ever closer into this community of faith? I guess I'll be putting up the sign-up sheets for my hula classes pretty soon. Amen.